Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church located at 841 Burton Street, Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Harry Koops will bring a message titled Belonging from Scriptures found in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and 10 through 14 and verse 18. This is Jeff Van Meekeren inviting you to stay tuned in for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Well, good morning. It's my privilege to welcome you to the sanctuary of 8th Reformed to worship and praise the living God. And so I greet you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of our Heavenly Father, our Creator. And He is our Redeemer. The Holy Spirit makes these things true in our hearts. And that's why we're here, to worship Him and to praise Him and to give Him all the honor that belongs to Him. If you're visiting with us today, we greet you and we're glad you're here. We say good morning and hope you're blessed through this service. And that we also want to invite you to stay for a time of fellowship right after the service. We have coffee and cookies right through those doors. There's a guest book on the way. If you're kind enough to sign that, if this is your first time visit, we would love to have you do that. But we hope you do stay and enjoy some hospitality, some warmth, and that ultimately you're really blessed through your experience this morning. If you don't have a church home, we ask that you would consider making 8th your church home, and we would love to have you be part of our church family. If you're joining us through other means, Jethro Radio, jethro.fm, that's on the internet. If you're joining us through our watch this later on YouTube, or maybe get CDs, we hope you're blessed through those means too. We're thankful for electronic means to reach out and to connect with one another, to share the good news of who Jesus is. But if you're hearing this and you're able to join us in person, consider this your personal invitation to come and be part of our church family. We meet Lifetime Sunday mornings, 9:30, right there by Clyde Park in Burton, and would love to have you be part of our fellowship. This morning, because of the schedule sometimes is irregular, I do mention that I do have my Sunday school class this morning. It meets at 11 o'clock, and we meet right over in this part of the sanctuary. Even if you've never come, you're most welcome to come and be part of that time together as well. Our call to worship says this: our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. What did God do to help us? Well, God chose the people of Israel to make a new beginning. They received God's covenant and prepared the way for Jesus to come as our Savior. Let us worship the God of the covenant, the God of heaven and earth, the Father of Jesus Christ, His one and only Son, our Redeemer, all through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand and sing number 512, Jesus is all the world to me. 512. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just sung, Jesus is all the world to me. And that's true for this world and the next. All we need is Him. And that's why we've come, to worship Him, to praise Him, to lift up His name, to glorify Him, and to ask Him to equip us for the journey of life. Our prayer is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, this service together will be meaningful, that Your Spirit will just run rampant in our midst, and that You, our Father, will be blessed through it all, as we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Receive God's greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue worshiping God by singing number 45, verses 1, 3, and 4, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Yes, He alone is worthy of that, to be adored and magnified. Before we come before our God of our congregational prayer, just want to give you a couple of updates on our church family. And we're happy to share with you that Jim Verstraat, who ended up at St. Mary's Hospital this week, Trinity Hospital, with influenza, responded quite well to treatment, was discharged, is recovering at home, doing quite well now, but both him and Sandy are now dealing with what so many people are dealing with, is that nasty cough. And she said, we probably won't make it this morning. And then we're thankful that Doug Vandermeer's stent surgery went well and last Monday, and we just praise God for that, and we celebrate that and thankful, Doug. And then we also want to be in prayer for Dave Conrad. Some of you know him. He's the bunker guy on Jethro Radio, dealing with kidney issues. And so remember David in prayer during this time. And then yesterday you got the prayer chain on about Terry Gruders. They were at St. Mary's Hospital at that time admitting him. Terry is dealing with a stroke. I got a text from Junior this morning that he's in a room, they're doing more tests, and a little later today they'll do an MRI just to see what exactly is going on. So we want to remember Terry in prayer, and we thank Beth for stepping in because Terry was a song leader this morning. And then Ruth Tackham isn't feeling good either. And I see that Shirley Lohman stepped right up and is playing the piano, accompanying Paul. So thanks for making that work. And so this is all ways that we support and help and encourage each other as we're all part of the family of God. And as you know, there's lots of things going on in the life of the congregation, and there's lots of health concerns, different things people are dealing with. And so do remember each other in prayer throughout the week. And I hope that, like, when the prayer chain comes out, that it's not just an information thing like, oh, that's happening to so-and-so, but that you really take a moment and pray for the people whose names are on that prayer chain, that God just gives them strength and comfort. And all the times I hear from people when they say, you know what, we felt the prayers, we felt surrounded by prayer. Prayer really does make a difference. So just want to encourage you and thank you with that. Let's come before our God with our congregational prayer. Eternal God, the one who has always existed in three persons, yet one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are the transcendent one and the immanent one. Your grandeur is beyond comprehension. Your infinite being reveals our limitations. Yet you love us with an everlasting love, an unconditional love, an immeasurable love. And we are so blessed to be called your children and to be adopted into your family, the family of God. All this possible through the redeeming work of Jesus on Calvary's cross, so our sins could be forgiven, so that we are cleansed, that we are made whole, that you actually see us as white as snow when we are covered in the blood. And all we can do is worship you and praise you and glorify your name, the name of the only Son of God, Jesus the Messiah. What a gift faith is. And we pray for those for whom this is not a reality. Would you, Holy Spirit, unlock hard hearts and take hearts of stone and make them hearts of flesh? We depend on you for everything, and so that's why we come to you with our thanksgiving as well as our requests, our praise and our worship, our fears and our anxieties. And so this morning we pray for those dealing with health issues. We thank you for prayers answered, for Mary Westerling, and that she can be here with us this morning, for Phil Dornbos, for Darlene Sahowowitz, for Doug Vandermeer, for Jim Verstrat. And then we have special requests for Ron Osteich and for Shirley Lohman, Terry Gruters, Dave Huvelhorst, Tim C., Betty Holmes, Larry Rudnick, Tina Shaver, Amber Olson, Rick Boom, Floyd, Helen, Jolene Miller, David Conrad, Heath Misiak, Kim Wiggers, Glenn Bartman, Renee, Joanne Emus, Arvilla DeVries, Michelle Strading, Ron and Jenny Benedict, Mary and Jerry Loschutz, Tootie Calamine, Ron and Barb Engels. And then we know, Father, there's lots of stuff going on that isn't even in this list that people are struggling with, others just concerned about what's going on again. Sometimes it's things that we thought were kind of straightened out, and then they return, and it's just unsettling, the uncertainty. Others just dealing with the colds and the flus and all that stuff that's going around. And we know that we're fragile, vulnerable people, and that health is a tremendous gift. And Father, we have nowhere to turn but to you. You are Creator. You're also the great physician. We thank you for doctors and nurses and the medical people and the therapists and all the work that they do. But we know that ultimately, unless you bless it, it all comes to naught. And so, Father, we come to you and we pray for your continued intervention. Then we pray for those dealing with emotional health. We pray for Connie Vander West dealing with anxiety, Joanne Sleeth with depression. And we know other folks dealing with this too. Or things like bipolar or schizophrenia, or just autism, a host of things that can make life difficult and challenging. And then there's stages of life, and as we get older, the limitations get more severe, and there's other things that happen that just make life hard. Things that we once did without thinking about it now have become real challenges. And we pray for people dealing with things like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dementia. Lord, as we talk about all this stuff, we know that it affects not just the people that have it, but also all the family members. And so we pray for those within the family circle who are caregivers, who come alongside to support, encourage. And sometimes that's also real exhausting. And so we pray for special strength for them, physically as well as emotionally. And we pray, Father, for our relationships on all levels, husbands and wives, parents and children, siblings, with people we work with, people we go to school with, people we worship with, that our desire would be to do it well. You have placed that onus on us because we're your children and you've called us to live in that way. I want to pray for the prisoners, for those who are have lost their freedom for whatever behaviors. And we also know that sometimes life is hard for them in that changes happen. And we pray for Carl Alquist. We've sent letters to him before as a congregation. And this week he got notice that he lived in the UP, that he was being transferred. They're never told where until they arrive, and he's now in Jackson. And so we pray for grace for Carl during this time, and our prayer is that he might receive more cards again from us as a church family too. We pray for our shut-ins, Ruth Horges and Rena Remtema. We ask for your blessing on them this day, that they too might experience a Lord's Day blessing. And then for those in hospice care, we remember Carol Cucci and also her family at this time, as they support, encourage, come alongside of, stand in the gap, all of those things. Will you strengthen them? Remember those who are grieving and ask for your presence, your comfort, and your strength in their grief. And we know that our hope is in you. We pray for our world and all the chaos and uncertainty that people live with. We pray for the leaders of our nation and again ask that through your orchestration there might be peace. Peace, Father, between Russia and the Ukraine, however you would work that out. Peace in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas and Hezbollah and other nations in that area. And then we think, Father, of all the other areas around the globe where there's tension, unrest, and bloodshed. Oh, how we long for that day when you will rule in all your fullness. Thank you for servicemen and women, as well as all first responders and their families, their willingness to serve. But we know that our only hope in this world is in you, Father, and we pray that your presence will become more and more evident. Periodically, we hear about revivals, things happening that gives new hope, and our prayer is that your Spirit would keep touching people's hearts in such a way to draw them to yourself. We keep the Bunapardas in prayer, and we ask that they would be faithful as they minister in a Buddhist environment and give them strength for their mission. And then we pray, Father, for Words of Hope, Our Daily Bread, Audio Scripture Ministries, the Gideons. We think of missionaries that we support, the Jensens, Bruxfords, Vlassens. Thank you for the voice of the martyrs, and will you equip them to be a blessing and a resource to all who suffer unimaginable horror for saying Jesus is Lord. Give them special grace to remain faithful. Thank you for 8th Reformed as a church. May we always be grounded in the truth of your word, a place of light and hope in a dark world as we worship the one who is the light of the world. Holy Spirit, as we study your word, may we be moved to worship you for adopting us into the family of God. We offer this prayer in the name of the one who made it all possible and taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 123, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. 1, 2, 3, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds.
Thank you.
This morning we'll start by reading from the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 33, Lord's Day 13, is found in your bulletin. That'll be our first reading. It's a responsive one. Take a minute to grab your bulletin. Question and answer 33. And the song we just sung reminds us how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. In that last verse, it lists the thing. He's a prophet, priest, a king, a shepherd. There is no limit to who Jesus is in our lives. You cannot exhaust it. You cannot exhaust it. And so, looking at question and answer 33, why is he called God's only son when we also are God's children? Because Christ alone is the eternal, natural Son of God. We, however, are adopted children of God, adopted by grace through Christ. Even as I was preparing this, I thought so much of this really goes so far over my head. It's kind of interesting to prepare something and to work on something and to say, this is so big, I don't understand how it all works. But I hope what we come away with is a new admiration, a new awe, reverence for how big our God is, and what he has done, and how he has included us in it all, which makes it an amazing story. And so first turn to the Gospel of John, and let's see, that's page 1509 in the Pew Bible. John chapter 1, page 1509. And we'll read select verses from John 1. Hear the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 10. He, and you figured out, of course, that this is all referring to Jesus. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of human, of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. May God add his blessing to this holy an inspired word. Dear congregation, our desire to belong is a basic need. To fit in, to have some place where I feel connected. To belong to a family is a strong drive within all of us. And sometimes, I admit, we live in a broken world. These feelings get messed up along the way. And circumstances that happen, as well as our own human nature, have a way of distorting these things. And I can just give you a quick example. You know what it's like for many families around Thanksgiving and Christmas time. Those are family get-togethers, right? And the stress level goes way up. And sometimes the question is, do we have to get together? Do we have to invite the weird uncle? Do we, all those questions, who can we get away with not inviting? But there's something about it that we're still drawn to come together. And so even in everyday relationships, relationships of parents, relationships of our siblings can be problematic. But there's always something that seems to draw us back together again, especially with, I mentioned, like the bigger holidays, and if there's a wedding, if there's a funeral, we come together. We want to be there. Now, in these family dynamics, there are lots of variables and lots of emotions. And in our ideal, our desire is that we could get together and all get along. And couldn't we just have a good time together and be nice? But then somebody had to bring something up, and they're all fell apart. And you know who I'm talking about. Because in the family, we all know who we're talking about. Having said all that, just as a little lead-in, our Heavenly Father is extremely relational. Extremely relational. Our God is in the people business. That's His business. The epitome of what good relationships look like is in the Godhead, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how they work together. That's perfection in relationship. And so in the Trinity, we notice the loving relationship between the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit, too, but I'm just going to focus on this for a minute. The amazing love God has for His Son, Jesus. His one and only Son. And so we catch a glimpse of this in Matthew 3:17. It's the story of Jesus' baptism. John the Baptist baptizes Him, and as He comes up out of the water, what happens? A voice from heaven said, "This is My Son whom I love." You can't get any better endorsement than that. No better confirmation. "This is My Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." God speaking about His Son. So as we're studying this section of the Apostles' Creed from the Heidelberg Catechism, I hope, if nothing else, it creates in us a new awe, a new reverence, a new respect. Really what Pastor Mark talked about last week, about why Jesus is so worthy of worship. And that sometimes we can get pretty used to it all and kind of get complacent with it all, but to have this respect for the one we call Christ. See, Jesus is central to our redemption, the Anointed One, the Savior. Remember Matthew 1:21? That was one of the Advent texts that we focused on last year. You are to give Him the name Jesus. Why? Because He will forgive His people of their sins. The only one we can find salvation in, the only one we can have eternal security in, is Jesus Christ. No one else. If we're ever at a funeral and you hear words like they were really a nice person, a good person, they did everything right, if Jesus Christ was not part of their life, there's no hope. There's no hope for eternal well-being. It is only in Jesus Christ that that is offered to us. The one, as a believer, that I am named after. When you call yourself a Christian, what you're really saying is, "I'm a little Christ." That's how the word started out, and it actually started out as a slur word. When people who were following this rabbi, when people wanted to really slander or insult them, they called them Christians. It was slanderous. Little Christ. And that's who we're called to be. Now, Jesus is one with the title, the only Son of God. This, too, is His identity. Okay, in the last couple of weeks, we've talked about His identity. Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Savior. Jesus, the only Son, is also part of His identity. Now, some translations use the word "the only begotten Son of God," and I just want to touch on that for a minute. What that really means is that Jesus Christ is the unique one. The only begotten, the unique one, the specially beloved one. It reflects on His singular, unique, distinctive prominence in the Godhead. I know this sounds pretty theological, but stay with me. It's really worth knowing. Because it just puts us in awe of who Jesus is. What is this prominence that He has, this uniqueness? Well, It refers to his two natures. Jesus within the Godhead is the one that is fully God and fully human. This is really important. And this description is one we need to hang on to because, one, it helps us understand how grand he is, the grandeur of Jesus, of his sonship, of his relationship with the Father. We're pretty familiar with all of this. And sometimes it's easy to underestimate or trivialize what the plan of salvation cost God to sacrifice his only son. We're so used to it. And yeah, I know pretty soon we're going into the Lenten season. But this was a deep, loving relationship. And at his baptism, we talked about it already, God the Father and the Spirit are present. And these are the words. When heaven opened, this was the voice from heaven. This is my son. This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. My son whom I love. And then in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. So this son he so loves, and then this world he so loves. Can you almost feel the tension? He gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. When it says he gave his son, it wasn't that he said, well, let me introduce you to my son Jesus. I'm really proud of him. He's a good son, and I want you to meet him. No, when he gave his son, he gave him to be that perfect sacrifice on the cruel cross of Calvary. And so at Jesus' transfiguration, you know this was shortly before the crucifixion, on the mount with Peter, James, and John, along with Jesus, and then Moses and Elijah come down, there again is a voice from heaven. And the voice says, this is my beloved son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Listen to him. And so I want to turn now again back to John 1, 14 and 18, today's readings, those two verses. The word became flesh. The word, up to that point, Jesus was spirit. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. That dwelling amongst us, remember in the Old Testament, they built the tabernacle and they always had the tabernacle in the middle of the camp. When the 12 tribes camped, there was three on each side, tabernacle in the middle. And that was God tabernacling with his people. And then when Jesus was born, one of his names was Emmanuel. It really symbolized or reflected that picture, Emmanuel, God with us. And so in this reading this morning, it says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who is himself God. That is a most critical phrase, that Jesus is fully God, and in close relationship with the Father, he's made him known to us. Without Jesus, there is no bridge between us and God. Without Jesus, there is no bridge between us and God. Jesus is who he says he is. Or, let me give you a quote from C.S. Lewis. Many of you know C.S. Lewis. The Witch, the Wardrobe, the Story of Narnia. Anyways, in his book, Mere Christianity, this is what he says, I quote, a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or he would be the devil from hell. You must take your choice. Either this is the Son of God, or else he's a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us never come with any patronizing nonsense that he was a great human teacher. That is not an option available to us. End of quote. Jesus Christ, God's only Son, is as truly and fully God as God himself. That's the mystery of the Trinity. It's a unique and eternal Father-Son relationship into which they bring us. See, this isn't just a story out there. This is a story that includes us. The Father and the Son are a package deal in the Trinity along with the Holy Spirit. They cannot be separated. If you deny one, you deny them all. And any religion or belief system that does not accept the Trinity is a false religion. Have nothing to do with it. Have nothing to do with it. Any religion that doesn't recognize God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit as one God, three persons, co-equal, co-eternal, is a false religion. A false religion. You know, we're studying the Apostles' Creed. The creed that came after this one, the Apostles' Creed, if you got one of those little gray books, the Apostles' Creed comes first, and you know, it's about this long. And then the Nicene Creed, it's about that long. And then you get the Athanasian Creed, it's 2 pages long. But what the creeds basically were about was defending and explaining that Jesus Christ is fully God. And so in the 4th century, there was already again this whole debate that said Jesus didn't always exist. God created him and then gave him this special role. And that's what we get the Nicene Creed from. But in the Trinity, we have one God, three persons, and the one, Jesus Christ, in that Trinity has the two natures. That's why I said some of this gets pretty theological, but it's important stuff to understand because in his two natures, Jesus is fully God and fully human. And that's critical. Because the only one who could pay the price for our sins was God. But the only one that could represent us was a perfect human being, which we didn't have any of. That's why this word incarnation is so critical. God came to earth and was fully God and fully human to be able to pay that price for our freedom. That makes him unique as our Redeemer. That's why he's the center to our worship. Because only someone who's fully God and fully human could be our Savior. If he's not fully God and fully human, then the Lenten season has no meaning. There's certainly no reason to go to Calvary with him. He wouldn't have any redeeming power. So now I want to go back to chapter 1 in John. Just look at verses 12 and 13 with me. Yet to all who receive him, in those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you've ever sat in a room where where a will is being read, the only thing you really listen for is your own name. That's just being honest. Right here, this is huge, where he says, you will have the right to become children of God. How amazing is that? To think that the God of the universe wants us as one of his children. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, a husband's will, born of God. There we have it. You must be born again. We often think that's a Baptist phrase. No, that's a biblical phrase. You must be born again. The promise is only true if Jesus is fully God. Otherwise, none of this works. The one who died in our place, there's a 25-cent word for that. It's called penal substitutionary atonement. And we hear more and more about this deconstruction movement and undermining the church and just talking about toxic Christianity. And
And this is one of the things that they so deny, that Jesus died in our place. But this is the crux of it all. It is that he died in our place. He paid for our sins on Calvary's cross. That's why Easter is the highlight of the church calendar and of our lives, because of what he did. And why? So we could become children of the Heavenly Father. Do you realize that before we were adopted into his family, we actually all were abandoned orphans? We were abandoned orphans, just floundering about. But Jesus, remember, he's fully human. As our older brother, he brings us into the family. He brings us to the Heavenly Father. So going back to verse 12, where it asks, what does it mean to that you all receive him? What does it mean to receive him? Well, first we must believe that he is who he says he is. When we believe in his name, that means that we believe that he is the anointed one, that he is the Messiah, that he is the only Son of God, that he is the one who redeems us. We believe all of that. That's what the scriptures teach us. And then we confess our sins at the foot of the cross. If you've never been to the cross, if you've never confessed your sins, then you're just hearing about something that is not real in your life. Then you're just hearing about something that's not real in your life. You got to have that time where you humble yourself and on your knees confess that you are a sinner who needs a Savior. Until that happens, none of the rest of this stuff applies to you. That's the harsh reality. But I got to be honest with you. That is the reality. And so when we look at this, he did it all for us. But we have to respond to his amazing love. Yes, there has to be a response on our part. What's our response? Surrender. Submission. Worship. Humility. We must be born again. Being born again is different than just a little makeover and some new paint. Being born again is a restructuring. But when we are born again, we are united with Jesus. And what did we learn? Jesus is the eternal, natural Son of God. And we are united with him. That's another reason why communion is so special. Just like when you eat the bread and drink the juice, how that becomes part of your body. It says really that's symbolic of how connected, united we are with Christ when we belong to him. Through this transaction with Jesus, we are adopted into the family of God. Elsewhere it says that he picked us, he chose us. If you've ever walked through an orphanage, one of the hardest things is you see all these little ones, and you know some of them aren't going to be picked. Some are not going to be chosen. We have been picked. We have been chosen. That's why there's so much gratitude that's part of worship. Our response is exactly that. Worship. We worship God and the grace he has extended. So it's fitting that we stand in awe and worship the one named Jesus. And last week, Pastor Mark, he reminded us that Jesus alone is worthy of our worship. And there's no other way to put it. There's nothing else you can say about that. He alone is worthy of our worship. And everything we do on Sunday mornings is about him. That's why we come here. And that's why it's important to be here. So how amazing is this, that God picked you to be part of his family? I think sometimes we don't spend enough time just thinking about that. That God, the creator of the universe, the one who spoke everything into being. And you know, when you think about that, in the beginning, God spoke things into being. He did it through the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus. So through speaking, Jesus, the Word, he's the creator. The complexity in all of this is just phenomenal. But how amazing is this? He made it all possible. And today we are adopted into his family. That's why we call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we are part of the same family. It's an amazing story. And when you read the scriptures, the scripture is full of stories about people who were adopted into the family. And then it gives us guidelines on how to live. And then there's promises. In John 14, what do we read? Jesus says to teaching his disciples, he says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to come back and get you that you may be where I am also." And it's like, just think about this. We're adopted kids. We get our own room. I sometimes think we've lost the marvel at what he's done for us. It's like, oh yeah, I know the stories. I've heard them for 70 years. And at one time they really excited me and I thought it was really something, but pretty familiar. Instead of just standing back and saying, wow, this is really incredible what God has done for me. Once adopted, all the rights and all the privileges of the family become ours, as well as the rules of the family. When we belong to a family, we act in a certain way. We all know what it's like, or many of us do, if you get married, and you marry into another family, and then you realize there's a lot of stuff they do wrong. It's like, can't believe they're this old, never figured that out. Every family has its rules, how they do things. We now belong to the family of God, and there's a certain way that we do things. Why? Because our new identity is in Christ. This is who we are. So just think about this for a minute. Are you excited that you're adopted into this family? Are you filled with gratitude in your heart and praise that you have been chosen? Does this change your life? Does this change your life because you've been adopted into the family of God? I would hope the answer would be, well, certainly. But here's something I just want to clarify. We don't act differently to become sons and daughters in the family of God, hoping that if we act just right, God will adopt us. That's missing it completely. That's missing the whole story. No, we act a certain way because we are sons and daughters in the family of God. We're already part of the family. And so every time you start to revert to old behavior, things you used to do, what they call backsliding, the Holy Spirit will say to you, no, no, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not how we act in this family. You know what? You're better than that. You're a child of the King. That's how you used to act. You don't act that way anymore. Now you belong to Him. And we become intentional and real deliberate in how we live and live a life to honor Him. Why do we do all of this? Because more rules and regulations. I'm so sick and tired of that. No! We do it because we love Him. We do it because we love Him. It's out of gratitude. That's why we also say that every day in life is a day of worship. In everything we do, life becomes worship. And because we love Him, We don't want to grieve him. I think it's Ephesians 4:30 says, and live in such a way that you don't grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you've been sealed for the day of your redemption. It's like, you ever remember when you were kids growing up and you did some things and it just really disappointed your parents? And when they gave you that look of disappointment, that hurt more than any spanking. We don't want to grieve our Heavenly Father because we love him. In 1 John, these are the little letters written by the same John who wrote the gospel, the beloved disciple. In 1 John chapter 3, I want to read two verses, verse 1 and 1 and 10. This is what John writes. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. It's like, can you imagine this? Can you imagine how big this is? This is incredible. I don't have words to describe it. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we'd be called children of God. And then he says, and that's what we are. And that's what we are. I hope there's no one here that is wondering, am I part of the family of God? Have I been adopted? That to me would be really sad. This has been extended to us as a gift, and we just have to accept it. Just accept it. And so, verse 10 then says, and this is how we know who the children of God are. Okay? People can see what family we belong to. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. There are only two families. Don't ever fool yourself. You're either part of the family of God or you belong to the family of the devil. And this is what it says in John 1 John verse 10. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother or his sister. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Lent. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. As we prepare to take up our cross and follow Jesus to Calvary, and then also want to celebrate the great resurrection, be sure you rejoice over being a child of the King, a son and a daughter of the Heavenly Father. That means we love each other in such a way that our Father in heaven is glorified. We love each other in such a way that our Father in heaven is glorified. That's why he suffered. That's why he died. So that we could love him and we could love each other. Father, we come to you and we love these stories, the amazing complexity of who you are. The Trinity, the Godhead, the one God, three persons, the different roles. And in all of that, you revealed yourself to us in such a way that we can understand how much you love us and that we've been adopted into your family. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here, anyone that doesn't feel they belong to the family of God, that you would give them unrest until they submit and surrender everything to your Lordship. And to all who have this assurance, will you continue to give us great joy and put a song in our heart, regardless of life circumstances, because of the one that we belong to. And we can offer this prayer confidently because we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 551. Remember, we're little Christ. The title of this is Oh to Be Like Thee, standing to sing.
You may be seated. At this time, the morning offering will be received. The deacons will wait upon you. Pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege of giving back. It's just a small token of all that you have given us. What you've given us is immeasurable, but you know our hearts are at. And our prayer is that you acknowledge and felt the gratitude in our hearts for the grace you extended to us, and that we would always see this as a part of worship, so that others too might be drawn into your kingdom. So would you bless those who gave and those who received, and we pray it in the name of the greatest gift of all, even Jesus. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 419. Seems fitting, the family of God. Receive God's parting blessing. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from Eighth Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a very rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. And if you would like a CD of one of our services, call the church office during the week at 616-452-9417. We'll be very happy to send you one free of charge. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it is our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care. Amen.